seen the future of horror.
Look what you did to my son, Inferno Wingnu! Oh, damn, I can't believe it!
Delamorte's Dungeon of Deadly Delights.
This is Radio Land, huh? The Infinite Turtle, the waves through the ether fuzz roll on forever. Roar!
Brace yourself.
Welcome to prime time, bitch!
You have a job and a sideshow.
Welcome to Delamorte's Dungeon of Deadly Delights on Jackalope Radio.
We'll tear your soul apart.
Hey there, fiends. It's once again Thursday. It's time to party. I am your host, Rob Delamorte. Great show last week. It was lots of fun. If you didn't tune in, we spoke to Ashley Lawrence. We announced our partnership with Kickaxe Music. The website being built for us is coming along. I can't say any more than that. But I'm really freaking excited, so watch out for that. With that, let me introduce my wicked co-host, Barb Rees.
Hi, everybody.
Next we have our horror hound beast, Jessica Dwyer. How you doing, Jessica?
Growl.
Well, it's so good to hear your voices again. So we're just going to start off here with a little bit of a different format to the show. So what I'm going to do is we're going to give you our Deadly Delight for the night. This is where we're going to give you our own pick for the night, and I'll start. My Deadly Delight is Jim Mickle's Stakeland. It's an awesome movie involving American Vampire Apocalypse. It involves, also trials with the spiking economy and religious zealotry. It's very well done. It's so much more than just, a blade kick in the ass flick. I'd have to honestly say that, besides Merle, Mister is one of the best characters I've ever seen in a long time. And I love how my friend Danielle is receiving roles with some substance finally, So this is my top pick. I urge you to do yourself a favor and check this one out. Jessica, what about you?
I finally got to see the wonderful James Gunn film Super, starring Rainn Wilson, and just it was awesome. Great movie, surprisingly bloody for what you're expecting.
It was just
filled with gore, and but not just that, it's got a hell of a lot of heart to it, and it also has the awesome Michael Rooker in it, so we'll That's just right. go all circular and tie in.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah. Oh, it was so damn good. Very unexpected. I actually, I hate to say it because I'm a girl. I cried at the end. It was just, I didn't expect to. I didn't expect what I got out of that movie, and it just was awesome. Great, great film.
Well, I have to say this, I'm sure Michael would disagree with me if you, because they bust each other's balls all the time, but I have to say that James Gunn is probably one of the best directors of our generation. I definitely have to say, because he comes up with, not only new and fresh pieces, they're always original, and they're always, the comic timing is amazing, and then just the effects, the gore effects that he uses, or the violence kind of adds to the story, instead of it just being this crazy.
This one especially was just, you are expecting, you get comedy, you get this twisted visuals, you get the comic book stuff, but then, sucker punches you with this just story of this man finding who he is, and just the horrible things that have happened, and how it leads him to finding who he really is, and just all these questions. You got to wonder the morality of everything. The whole movie makes you question it, and it's just awesome.
And I love the bolt.
Oh yeah, oh man.
Ellen Page was fantastic as his
bolty.
Like,
oh god,
bolty, yeah, yeah, bolty, yeah. It was awesome.
He will kick your ass. Will kick your ass.
Yeah, that'd be a nice little fight between her and Hit Girl. Actually, it wouldn't be fair because, Hit Girl's 11. But, dude, she was badass, And it kind of had that feel to it, I thought. It definitely had that kick-ass feel, but it had its own little touch to it.
It almost felt like an art film, which is, I know that's what James was wanting to go for. He wanted an art house movie, but it was a James Gunn art house movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And it was very pretty.
It's Full Tilt Boogie.
Damn, man.
Barb, what about you?
Well, let's see. With the fifth installment of Final Destination, I kind of gone old school, and I started watching the series again, starting with the first one, and I just think it's one of the greatest movies. It's just a very smart movie, has awesome kills, so that's just been my go-to for the week. So yeah. If you've not seen it, I highly suggest that you see the first one. I'm not that big of a fan of the sequels because, in my opinion, it kind of went downhill. But I am optimistic about the fifth movie. I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you 100%. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I had mentioned on our Facebook page was, of course, Final Destination. And I had mentioned just how wonderful it is in terms of having a genre piece that is not only entertaining, but has probably some of the greatest kills I've ever seen. Like every single one is so well thought out, and it's like so methodical, and you think it's going to happen one way, but then, it's like they actually, it looks like Mousetrap, pretty much. Exactly. Like an old game Mousetrap, where you see these things going on, but these things have nothing to do with what's going to happen,
Right.
And then it's like, wow, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Exactly.
I love Tony Todd as an actor, as a person, and I'm really happy to see Emma Bell, getting starring roles, which is my segue for tonight, because we're talking to somebody that knows Emma Bell from working with her in The Walking Dead. I don't know if he actually worked along with her, but and also for you guys out there, I'm actually trying to get Emma Bell for the show next week to talk about Final Destination 5. And I did talk to her before on the podcast back in January. And it's on my Facebook page, Del Morte's Dungeon 2. It was an awesome interview. I was sick as hell, but it was amazing. She is definitely one of the young actresses to look out for, I think. Everything that she does is just incredible. Even her small part in Walking Dead to Frozen, she's awesome. With that, I'm going to get to our guest. He's not only an incredible actor, but someone who has been there for us from the very beginning. Let's make that perfectly clear. I've spoken to him for written interviews. He appeared on the podcast twice. He has worked in every style of genre, worked with practically everyone you can possibly imagine in the business. He just recently, like in the past year, wowed viewers once again as Merle Dixon on season one of The Walking Dead. He'll also be starring in the film Cell 213 and Hyperthermia. And we're going to ask him about that, plus his appearance at Flashback Weekend in Chicago. So with that, let's introduce my friend and friend of the show, Michael Rooker. Michael.
Yay.
yay, guys.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on.
You're not tired of me yet, are you?
You know how they have like alumni for like Saturday Night Live, and like they'll do like bits with like Steve Martin and stuff because he's on like 15,000 times or whatever. You are the first person to be with us, the more than anybody else. So there you go. So, let's give him a clap for that.
I think everybody's going to be wanting to go and hang out with you guys and chat with you pretty soon. So I feel that I've gotten in on the ground floor. I'm a very lucky guy. Somebody on your show right now should tweet that we're doing it, and also tweet, give a shout out for the Vixens. This is a bunch of a couple thousand people who are just dying crazy fans of Merle Dixon and Daryl Dixon of The Walking Dead, and they are going to be all over my ass when they find out that I did not tweet this before we did this show. And I have not told anyone I was doing the show, because I got to tell you that my phone was down and I just charged it back up, and you are so lucky to even have me here right now.
So actually, you know,
and
I want that.
And by the way, Emma Bell and I did not have any scenes together, but I do know her from The Walking Dead, and she is such a sweetheart. Yes.
Yeah, she's.
I agree with everybody.
Well, she was on the podcast, like I mentioned, in January, and she definitely had a lot of glowing things to say about you too. So, well, this is the way I look at it. You know, they had this huge stand of you on the rooftop at Comic-Con, and you know, it just made people really think, like, oh my God, you know, Merle's coming back, because Merle is a big deal to a lot of people, as well as myself, and you know, we want to see him back. Could you tell me, like, you know, what you know, or I mean, is there any news about you coming back, or?
I have no idea, and so I'm still as kind of in the dark as everyone else, and so yeah. I mean, I think they have storylines to flush out that's still going on in season two, and so you know, my fingers are crossed that they will find Merle someplace in the future. So as an actor, I'm a big fan of the show, and I'd love to come back and continue with some more of Merledom. So, but we'll see. You know, we shall see, and I'm as excited about that possibility as I think all my fans are. So right. I'm off working, bro. I'm doing my job as an actor. So I did a job. I did a gig called Outlaw Country up in Nashville for FX, which
right.
is a wonderful pilot, and it is an absolute kick-ass show with an absolute kick-ass cast.
Oh, yeah.
As well. You know, I mean, so. John Hawks is in it. I mean, it's starring and just a lot of good people. And I was asked to come up there and do a role because it was a fresh role, a role that was sort of written for me. And because they were redoing the pilot, reshooting some stuff. Unfortunately, one of the cast members passed away, and so so they decided they didn't want to just not do anything about that, so they decided to recast the lady, and in doing so, they came up with some new scenes, and in those new scenes, there are some new characters, and of which I am one, and my name is Rip, R.I.P., as in rest in peace.
Nice.
So basically, there's not much else I can say about that role, because my character is rest in peace. So guess what? Maybe I'm gonna have a lot of fun on that show. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. Because you know, I mean, well, we're gonna have a little fun now. Because hey, Barb, can I say this?
Are you gonna embarrass me too much? Go ahead. You know,
Can I? Am I allowed to?
Go ahead. I expected nothing less.
All right. Brooker, Barb is a huge fan of yours, but thinks that when you're one of the sexiest men alive.
She thinks.
I know.
There you go, baby. Now we're talking. Yes, Brooks is one of the sexiest men alive. There you have it. Okay, I said it.
All right.
I'm not beating my own drum here. I'm just reiterating what you just said.
And she's a looker, too, so there you go. Hey, Barb, go ahead.
Wow. Well, after that, can you guys just, like, feel the blush just, like, emanating through the waves here? I'm just like, oh, Lord. All right. Since, you know, I'm in love with you and everything, the first time I saw you was in Henry. And I absolutely fell in love with you. And
what does that say about her, though? Hold on.
I was going to say.
Yo, I'm going off fangirl. Leave me alone.
It was the wife beater, wasn't it?
It was. And the curly hair. And
I think it was the nappy hair. I loved it.
I was like, he's so adorable. I'd love to get killed by him.
Hey, Rooker. Hey, Rooker, she has every issue of Tiger Beat you were ever in.
I do.
There might. You go, baby. That's my kind of fan.
She wants to have she wants to have fries with you.
Dude, we can have a milkshake with two straws and a cherry. I'd be happy.
There you go.
Oh, no. I read that you're a big fan of red velvet cake, too. Is that true?
I am. I do. I love that stuff.
I've got a big hunk of it in my fridge right now. I was thinking of eating it.
Rob, I think we should just leave.
Yeah.
As soon as you found out I was a big fan, you went out and got one and just...
I baked it
in your fridge until the day we meet and you bring it out and unthaw it.
Hey. That's
it. And we can both eat it together, you know, with one fork.
This is so awesome.
you guys leave her alone.
That's right. Leave her alone. Damn it.
I'm glad we can make a connection here. I'm like, hey, this is
absolutely wonderful. Hey, you know what? Actually, if they stop snubbing your ass, Rooker, and do the right goddamn thing with you, you should take her to a premiere.
Hey. That would be, I would go. I would have no problem.
which premiere? There's a couple of things that are coming out. I don't know what's going to come up first. hey, by the way, Rob, you didn't mention Bolden. Bolden has been in the editing room for the past 2 years.
What was that?
Damn it, this movie better come out soon. I got to tell you, I'm getting a little perturbed. It's called Bolden. It's based on Buddy Bolden. It's the jazz musician, the turn of the century, 1905-ish.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant piece. And I think it's going to be just so unbelievably amazing. And you know what? My fingers are really crossed on this one.
Isn't that sort of a sequel? Didn't they do? Is that the one that's kind of like a silent film with a soundtrack?
We did two films. We did a film. We did a regular feature, and then we also did a companion piece called Lewis, which was a silent movie, and Lewis will come out before Bolden. Lewis has already been seen. As part of a jazz tour through the Midwest and New York area, and so we did both. Yeah,
that's awesome. So that's being released soon, then finally.
You know what? I read something in one of the trades, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? Wow!" I was a very happy camper to hear that it's actually. And gonna be out there pretty soon.
So. That's awesome. Actually, I wanted to get Jess here to ask you a question real quick, and then I wanted to talk about some other stuff. So go ahead, Jess.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, one of the things that I was really excited to see was that the Call of the Dead expansion pack that you did for Call of Duty, and I was wondering how that occurred and also if you guys had even talked about ever coming together and doing like an actual live action film of that.
That occurred because of the first season episode 1 and episode 2 and 3 of The Walking Dead. The producers and people over there at that Treyarch. They were watching. They're big fans of The Walking Dead, and they were looking for this a fourth person to be in this game. You know, they were just putting some names together, and they saw my work in The Walking Dead, and basically the same night they were watching in different houses, they all like were calling each other up during the show, going, "This is him. This is the guy. We got to get Rooker. We got to get Michael Rooker to play Michael Rooker." Okay.
It's a role he's born to play.
Oh, well, yeah. I think he can do this. I really think he can do this. And when they pitched it to me, I said, I think I could do this. I mean, I could probably play Michael Rooker, yeah. And I'm so happy you brought this up because it's such a great game. And, you know, they were talking about doing a feature of the Call of the Dead.
Oh, my God, I would pee myself.
As well.
I would pee myself if that happened.
You know I would, too. I'd love to do that. And Danny Trejo, Robert Englund, Sarah Michelle Gellar, all we did this Call of the Dead thing.
I got to ask you a question, man. I got to ask you a question. Is Sarah Michelle Gellar as hot in person as she is on TV?
Oh, way hot. Yeah, man. She's very cool. And Danny Trejo, Danny is just as...
He's hot, too.
Oh, yeah. No, he's hot in another way. I mean, he's really ugly guy, you know? And he carries a machete. I mean, he's a very intimidating guy. I'm like a cupcake compared to him. And, of course, and then we have Freddy Krueger there, too, you know.
So yeah.
We had a great time doing it, man.
I bet.
You know what the upside of this whole gaming thing is for me? Is that...
Better ideas now, for movies?
No, dude, now my fan base starts at maybe 6 and 7 year olds.
Oh, yeah.
You got 6, 7, 8 year olds playing this game.
Right.
And literally, I was having lunch with a friend, and there was a dad and his two kids. And the kid, the 9-year-old girl, and a little older, the boy was a little older, not much, 10, 11. They both had, like, phones. They had iPhones and stuff. And they're, like, they're doing something on their iPhone. The one is showing the other. The little girl is showing everybody at their table. And they're looking over me, and I'm like, so finally I just say, hey, how you doing? And they show me what's on the phone. It's me in Mallrats with no hair. And they're saying, this looks like you. Is this you? Is this you? Because, you know, this guy here looks like the same guy that we play. We play Call of the Dead, you know, the walking the zombie thing. And I go, thank you very much. This is me, yeah. And, yeah, you have been playing as Michael Rooker. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Otherwise, you would never be able to see any of my movies.
That is so cute and creepy at the same time.
6-year-olds playing zombie games. That's
kind of sick. Yeah. It's creepy and weird, and but it's a cool game. Everybody loves the game. I mean, you love the game, don't you? I mean,
fun
game.
I have to say, it probably had the coolest commercial ever for that when they did that. Oh my God!
Jesse, you're gonna have to link that to me, Jess. I haven't seen that. I feel bad that I haven't seen that.
You haven't played the game yet?
I have not. You know what I mean? Like, wow.
Well, you know what you got to do? You got to get the game. You got to download it. Be one of the next 20 million people to download the game, okay? It's broken all records. It's broken all the records. That's great. There's like probably by now it's like, you know, 25 million downloads.
Wow.
So, Romero plays Romero in it.
Yeah, George plays George. I play myself, and everybody plays themselves.
It's awesome.
Do you always, when you play that game, do you always play with yourself?
Dude, you know what? I don't play the game very well. I'm not a very good gamer. I will admit that right now. Yes, my manager Eric Kritzer and his two sons. His two sons are like 8 and 11 or something like that. They both just wiped the floor with me. When I knew I was going to do the game, I went over to their house and played the game, the Call of Duty game, just to sort of get the feel of, you know, what it was going to be like and look at the game and stuff. And they just They just killed me, dude. They were just I felt like an idiot. I didn't know how to do it at all.
Well, I got to tell you something. You know, I remember one time watching a talk show. I think it was when one of those Guitar Heroes came out before they became defunct. Yeah. But they had Slash on a talk show, and he was like, so are you any good at the – I think it was Conan O'Brien or something. And he's like, so are you any good at this Guitar Hero or whatever? And Slash was like, dude, I have no idea how the hell to play that thing. I have no idea whatsoever.
It's hard.
It's hard. That's a hard thing. Yeah.
But you know, like you actually shoot weapons, like real weapons, and you know, it's a little different when you got a controller and or some stupid thing around your. Like, I think that's silly anyway. You know, like adult men that have that fake guitar around. Just learn how to play real guitar. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what?
There.
I mean, I've been trying to play the guitar for the last 30 years. And I haven't learned yet, and I'm as bad at the guitar as I am with the game. So, some people are just good at the stuff, at that kind of stuff, and some people just are not.
So I wanted to mention...
I'm really good on the real range. I shoot real guns, you know, so I'm good that way. But when I am doing the fake gun with the controller, it doesn't work.
I keep telling you I'm an expert shot, Rooker, and we got to get together. I haven't done it in years. We got to go out in the range.
Can't wait to have you get out to L.A. and come on out to the range, man.
Damn right.
I will certainly be my pleasure and honor to take you out to the range and it'll be on me. It'll be all free.
So. actually, speaking of weapons, I wanted to talk to you about something because I don't know if you've seen it yet. But I really think you need to get together with this director, Eisenman, I think his name is, Jason Eisenman, who did Hobo with a Shotgun. Incredible director. I would love to see you work with a guy like that. I mean, just the way that he did exploitation, and I'm sorry, you worked with Danny Trejo, but I think was better than Machete. I think that it definitely had that feel a little bit more than Machete did. You know what I mean? It was it looked like something from like the 70s, you know, like one of those... old exploitation films. Another thing I'm going to rally for is you have to be in The Expendables 2. You have to be.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You have to be.
Well, I'm such a whore, I'll do almost anything.
So, you know, Barb, did you hear that? Barb, did you?
I did. Barb.
But I got to tell you, I used to be really picky. But you know, nowadays I think I've gotten to be a better actor. I can really I can do bad material and be okay with it now.
Well, you already worked with Sly, right? I mean,
I've worked with Sly, and I've worked with a lot of actors and a lot of good and a lot of bad ones too.
Oh, speaking of which,
I'm not gonna give you names, but.
Well, speaking of which, I just wanted to say too, congratulations on the congratulations on being older, I guess, because it's the 20th anniversary of Days of Thunder.
Yay!
is it 20? Has it been 20?
I think it's 20. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's actually over 20.
Is it over 20? I thought
over.
It was. 20.
I think it's like 25.
It's 21 years ago.
21
isn't
years
it
ago.
25? Isn't it 25 years or what?
You know what? Your guess is as good as mine, sir, because I honestly don't know. But I just wanted to say too, because speaking of games, you were supposed to, I guess, what for the anniversary or something, you were supposed to come up with a Days of Thunder game where you were doing some actual video work for it.
I did. They already came up with the game.
Oh, sweet.
I did all the voiceover for the game, Days of Thunder game, yeah. And it was the 20th anniversary, as a matter of fact. Yes, I did that. And I did that last year, I think. And they didn't press it very well, actually. It was unfortunate that Sony didn't really push that or pitch it the way, like, for example, Call of the Dead is. I mean, my goodness, it's out there. It's all in the news and everything, and they sold 20 million copies. I doubt very seriously if they've sold 20 million copies of Days of Thunder.
Right. Well, I already told you this. I said I think that your next video game venture should be a Henry Portrait of Serial Killer Grand Theft Auto style game where you run around. What do you think, guys? He runs around as Henry.
I think that would rock. Actually,
I would play it.
I run around stalking people.
You stalk people. You eat fries while you kill hookers. It's gonna be awesome.
You can already kill hookers in GTA. Where's the stretch? I mean, yeah, do it.
or you can plug it in. You could throw a TV at somebody. You know what I mean?
Otis would be able to come back. Otis would be able to.
It could be a buddy thing like Resident Evil or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Could we have Becky come back as well?
Hey, listen.
With a little I Heart Chicago t-shirt on.
All I got to say is this.
And Davey Duke hot pants. You know?
All I gotta say is this. I mean, they did it with Scarface, and he got shot to shit at the end of the movie. Oops, sorry. He got shot to hell at the end of the movie. So, I mean, they came out with a game for him where he survived. I don't see why they couldn't do it with Henry.
They did, didn't they? They came out Scarface. They did a Scarface game.
And they didn't have you. They had every single actor you could possibly imagine on that game, and did not pick you for a voiceover. That pissed me off.
No, I think I might have done a voiceover for Scarface.
He's listed on it. I don't know.
Did you do Scarface?
I did. Aren't I listed on that? I did a voice for a Scarface.
Oh, yeah, he's listed on it. Yeah, I own that.
I might have done two or three voices for Scarface.
Oh, whoa. I had no idea. They did not market it that way. That sucks. Like, how could I know that, you know, one of my favorite actors is, like, doing a voice on a game and not know about it? Like, that's...
Well, sometimes when you're doing voices and you're doing voice work, you want to do it incognito. You don't want people to know all the voiceover jobs that you've done, because some of them, you don't want anyone to know ever that you did it.
Right.
Because it's a stupid thing, you know. and you're going there in your pajamas, and you do some voiceover, and you get to go home. So it's kind of a little job where you get paid, and nobody ever knows you've done it.
No, it was definitely a classic. Actually, I wanted to pass it off to Barb again. Barb, go ahead.
All right. Well, I know you've been in some really phenomenal dramas. Two of my favorite being Mississippi Burning and Bastard Out of Carolina. And I was just wondering if...
Whoa.
Yeah. See, I watch my Rooker. Don't.
Oh, you did? You damn
yeah,
right
those
you
are,
did.
Those are two good ones. Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering what role that you've played. Which one do you consider to be your most emotionally or physically challenging role? Because Bastard Out of Carolina, that was a pretty brutal movie to watch.
It was
the whole story was horrible, but,
yeah.
You know, did you have to get in a certain mindset to play the role of the uncle that you did, or was
uncle,
it just hard
uncle,
to get
uncle,
through? Uncle Earl.
I was Uncle Earl. Uncle Earl. And Uncle Earl is basically just a good old Southern boy, kick-ass kind of guy, honky-tonking kind of guy that gets in trouble a lot, and he goes and spends some time in jail. He's back and forth out of jail and that kind of stuff. And that was basically my role in there. But
thank you.
It wasn't a hard role for me, you know. And Mississippi Burning role was a much more difficult role. A bit larger as well.
Right.
Bastard Out of Carolina, the whole show was really dark and it's not like something that I would want to watch, you know.
Right.
I did the role, I did the show. I wasn't happy with a lot of the. I wasn't happy at all with the way they utilized the little girl in the show.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was downright belligerent to people because of what they had done, you know, using the girl in the rape sequence that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, people are just a bunch of idiots.
Well, it was...
I didn't like how that went down, basically. So
right.
It sort of has always left a bad taste in my mouth as far as that, you know, the show. And my work on it was okay, and everything was fine. But, you know, I sort of boycott that film myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was well done, you know.
Well, it was a made-for-TV movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was for TNT, and basically, and Ted Turner said, I'm basically not going to show it on my network.
Right.
And so gave them permission to take it elsewhere, you know.
Because I think the Lifetime channel shows it quite often, and it's just such a brutal movie. It's so graphic for a made-for-television movie that I'm surprised that it gets as much play as it does. And every time I watch it, I'm just in tears by the end. But I just...
I have to tell you, even though I don't want to watch it, it's just a brutal... It's a brutal film, and it makes it even more disturbing, because I was in it, and I know what happened in there, in that movie,
right.
and I wasn't happy with how they did it, and I wasn't happy with how they shot that sequence with the little girl, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jess, go ahead.
You know, Mississippi Burning was a crazy, crazy piece. I forgot what your question was. I don't know.
She's just stroking her ego because she can't stroke something else.
Oh. I'm going to have to block my husband from listening now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we're talking about red velvet cake here.
Yeah, you got red stroke the icing.
Yeah, the icing on the red velvet.
Can't have too much in one spot.
Barb, you're not helping. God. You're not helping.
This might choke you, you know.
Go ahead, Jess.
Okay, I'm going to try not to talk about cake. So I found out that, and I'm probably one of the minority here because I know there's like different opinions on Repo, the Genetic Opera. I loved it. I loved it. And then I found out that you were in the short film that they had done as the Repo Man.
Yep.
That's right.
Now,
yep, I was.
How did you actually get to... Because I've looked all over for pieces from it, and I can't find much of the original short. But did you get to sing, and how did that come to be?
Oh,
and,
God,
and how,
no.
That's a film.
I didn't sing at all. And I told him that I don't sing and I won't sing. And so I did the role for him as a favor, Darren Bousman. And I was already up in I think it was Toronto. I think we filmed it in Toronto. I was already there shooting something, and I said, no, you know what? I'll stay over another week and do it with you. No problem. He's a friend of mine, and so we've been, I've known him since he got out of school and started getting into business and stuff. So I said, yeah, I'll do it for you. But he offered me another role in the project because, you know, I didn't really want to, I don't want to sing in a film. I don't sing in real life, and it would not be a fun thing to watch.
That's not true. That is not true, sir. That is not true, because you were the one that sent me.
That's true.
You sent me, you were the first one to send me, I Ain't Got No Panties On. It was exclusive to me, right? And then, now it's everywhere.
Are you going to play it?
It's everywhere. Do you have it?
Play it? Are you going
to
play it?
If you have it, let's play it, because I do not have it, actually. I'm going to send it off to Todd. I think that'll be our ending song. I think that'll be our ender.
It was an awesome song. A friend of mine played this rap video one time. We were all having a glass of wine, and I was in a movie, and my assistant and her boyfriend at the time liked these really stupid, you know, rap things. And so,
let me set the scene for you guys if you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, so Rooker talks to me about this video that he has, and he sends it to my email. And he's like, I want you to exclusively put it on the dungeon. I said, great. That's awesome, right? So it's Rooker in front of a camera. I think it's a webcam. There's a woman in the bed behind him, and this huge bottle of Jergens, like, laying on the
table. Oh, my God!
So, it's so debaucherous. Like, you have no idea what's going on. It's the best. It's the best.
See, this is the level of this show, because I tried not to talk about it.
What about the cat in the background? What about the guy in the background?
You know? Oh, that's right. There was a guy in the background too. That's right.
it was so much fun, and I had about 3 glasses of wine in me, and I said, I can cover this piece. Don't worry about it. Yep. anybody could have covered
there's
this
a
piece.
There's a maid, there's an elk behind him. Like, you're like, what the hell is going on?
the whole song consists of maybe a half a dozen words. And so I said, hell, I could cover this. And so hence I did. It was ridiculous.
Todd, that's going to be our ending song.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so I wanted to talk horror with you real quick. I want to know what the situation is with hyperthermia and cell 213.
Cell 213 has been released in Canada, I do believe, yes. And it's gonna be released.
It sucks. I'm not Canadian.
It's gonna be released here in the United States. I feel in maybe a month or so. That's what I've heard. So and hypothermia. I don't know what's going on with hypothermia. But a lot of times those little movies, you know, they do the movie, but they don't really have enough budget to do the special effects. So I have a feeling they're getting money and they're trying to make the special effects work a little bit better, so that the acting doesn't look really too stupid, because we're looking at something that looks.
I gotta tell you, I think that monster looks pretty damn good, because I remember you were saying before that it was just a Did you see the trailer?
Have you seen some of it?
What's
I haven't
that?
Seen any of it yet. I haven't
oh
seen
no,
it
there's
yet.
A trailer yeah. for it, and it shows the monster just a little bit, and it's kind of got that Creature from the Black Lagoon feel.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, it looks really good, actually. I think.
So I have a feeling that they've been working on all the special effects. So I it's going to come out, and so we're going to have fun watching that. I hope it's missing bloody, and it actually has some pretty good. Pretty damn good acting in it, so everybody who had fun doing it, so.
So I'm gonna bust your chops here real quick. is there gonna be a sequel for Shadow Builder?
I don't even want you to say the name again. You know, I'm not gonna ask you for what. Yeah, that would go into the category of. Not bad acting work, but no money whatsoever to go into the special effects. They had no money to finish up the movie, you know. They had enough money to pay me, enough money to pay the kid, enough money to pay some of the other actors, but no money to finish the movie. And well, so, you know, it happens.
Everybody in that movie, the actual main characters actually went on to do other things. And I told you before, that your character in that movie, even though I bust your balls about it, I'm sorry. But that character that you played would have been great in another movie. It would have been amazing.
I know. I played a priest.
Yeah, a priest with guns.
I played a hitman priest.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was part of the Vatican's secret service. I'm doing quotes with my fingers. So and what they do is this guy, it's his job to seek out and destroy devil worshippers and the like. So that's basically what I did. You know, I would go into a Satan worshipping seance or whatever they call them, and I'd go in gun blazing. And I fucking kill everybody.
No, for the cheese that they gave you.
I got the collar on and everything. It doesn't matter. I just come in and pull out the gun and start shooting everybody.
No, he looked badass. He had the same look that he did in The Replacement Killers, pretty much. He had the priest outfit on, the same haircut that he had pretty much in The Replacement Killers. And he was a gun-toting priest. It was awesome. But, you know, for the cheese that they gave you, you were definitely the cracker. I mean, you rocked that role, man. You did.
You know what?
I promise I'll never bring it up again.
We did that. I don't. That's an old movie. You know, it's actually quite old.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even remember the type of guns I had. I think I had a couple of semi-auto, double-action type of Beretta type things. You know.
That kid that played with you was actually in the Dawn of the Dead remake. He played one of the security guards.
He's all grown up now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, before we head off here, because I could talk to you all night, dude, you know that. But tell us about Flashback Weekend, because I know you to let everybody know about that.
Well, Flashback Weekend is a convention in Chicago, and it's basically centered around a lot of horror and sci-fi and stuff like that, and it's their 10th anniversary. They've asked me to come out there and take pictures, sign autographs, hang out, and enjoy myself. So there's going to be a couple of panels. I'm going to talk Walking Dead, and I'm sure I'll be talking about hypothermia and the Cell 213 and Henry, of course. Chicago is where I did Henry, and so Henry's a big deal in Chicago. I just did a really cool interview with WGN, and we talked about the Flashback Weekend.
Cool.
It's actually right across the street from another big convention, one of the cons. So my brother, the guy who plays my brother in The Walking Dead, is going to be over there. Actually, my brother-in-law is going to be over there as well, across the street from the one I'm going to be at. And that would be.
I know this answer, but go ahead and tell people who your brother-in-law is.
Oh, Jay. His name's Jay LaRose.
Jay LaRose from Saw. Yep.
Saw. Yeah, he did the guy in the chains when he was trying to pull the chains in the opening sequence of was it Saw? Which one was it? Saw 4 or?
Oh God! I think it was three.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I tease him all the time because he worked out like a madman.
He's a monster.
Just to get some muscle mass on his body because he's a very mean kind of guy.
They could have got him to play Conan.
Yeah, Conan. Conan's brother. Conan's emaciated brother. So they're gonna be across the street. My compadre in The Walking Dead, Norman Reedus, will be across the street. I will be at the Flashback Weekend, which is across the street from where Norman's gonna be. So we're gonna have some lunch. Maybe we'll meet halfway I don't think I can get into the show, and I don't think he can get into our show. So we'll have to meet outside the two venues.
Yeah, my girlfriend's salivating right now since you said Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah, you're a big fan? You're a big Norman Reedus fan?
Well, I'm a fan of Norman Reedus, but my girlfriend Melody is really a fan of Norman Reedus. Yeah. Like, she is gaga over him, just like Barb is with you. So,
right on. Well, you know, there's a whole group of people on the internet called.
There's a lot of cheating going on tonight, man.
Called the Dixon Vixens, and they're also Rookerholics on the Twitter and the internet stuff. So I've been having fun with the social media stuff too. I've been tweeting and Facebooking and all that kind of junk, and. You know, I still type with my thumbs, so I'm not the greatest, quickest, typist in the world. But I'm having a good time with it.
Awesome. Well, you know what, Rooker? I don't want to say goodbye to you. Just stay on the line with me, but I'm gonna end the show for Todd here. So, guys, be sure to check out for Cell 213 and Hypothermia. You could probably find it on Pirate Bay. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I'm joking. look at Michael Rooker online. It's an awesome website. I really love it. I hope that we do something with that one day because I
love Michael Rooker online. Yeah, that's how you can hook up with me and stuff. And it did come out really, really well. Linda Webster is my web designer, and I'll do a big pitch for her. She's absolutely fabulous, and I think her name, Linda Webster, is a good name to have, and it's really her name as a web designer. And so anybody who needs to go on to Rooker, Michael Rooker online, if you like what you see, call her up and give her a job.
Barb looks at it every day.
I do.
Yeah.
Longingly.
I sit there. I stroke my cake. I'm like, what is Mr. Rooker up to today?
You pull your cake out of the freezer, and you hold it in the tin foil, and you lick it a few times. And you lick it. How many times do you lick it before you put it back in the freezer?
I don't know. Some days I just lose count.
You lick it 69 times.
That's it.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow.
There you have it. There you have it. Boom, boom. I think that's a good ending to this show.
Yeah. Well, look, stay on the line for me. I'm just going to end it this way. So, you know, guys, that's it for us. And, you know, we had a great time with Rooker. We always do. Stay tuned next week. Hopefully, we'll have Emma Bell for you talking about Final Destination 5. So, from all of us at the dungeon, myself, Jessica, and Barb, we'll scare you later. We'll see you next week.